Somebody say 50%. I think that's sad. That's what I heard. Not nearly enough. That's for sure. Somebody said, well, there's nothing in the Bible about voting. I really don't think there is. I don't remember when they voted. Do you? But they didn't live under a democracy either. I've got a text tonight from John chapter 10. Let's open our Bibles over there and read one verse, and then we'll be reading some more. John chapter 10, down to verse 14. The title of our message tonight is Sheep and Goats. And this verse is Jesus speaking, and he says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. That is, they know me. I know them and they know me. I'm the good shepherd. In preparing some lessons, I hope to bring one of these days on the kings of Judah, I came across a very interesting observation. It just kind of hit me between the eyes that I'd like to share with you. I got to checking this out, and after the death of Solomon, when the kingdom of Israel, the 10 tribes of Israel, were divided, there were 19 kings who ruled for the next 359 years. That's a long time, isn't it? 19 rulers in 359 years. Out of these 19 rulers, God characterized 7 of them as good, and 12 of them as evil. Now that's what he said about it. And in checking it out, the 7 good kings that Israel had ruled a total of 247 of those 359 years. And the 12 evil kings ruled for 112 years, and 55 of those 112 years was under the rule of one man, Manasseh, who was the most evil of them all. Isn't that amazing? And what I learned from checking this was that when a good king ruled, the nation had peace within. They had victory over their enemies, and they prospered spiritually and materially. But when they had evil, ungodly rulers, they suffered persecution. They had disastrous wars in which they suffered defeat. They had pestilences, famines, all kinds of natural disasters came. And the whole nation was led into idolatry. They built idols. They forsook God for idols. And you can go in there, and I challenge you to check this out. That's just the way it turned out. Now, that's Israel. There's another good illustration. Primarily in the book of Daniel, we read about a Babylonian king by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. To begin with, he was ruthless. He was mean. He was domineering. And he was proud. But God brought him down. He humbled him. And you read about him for being out eating grass with the cattle in the pasture for 7 years. And the Bible tells us that his fingernails and toenails grew out like bird's claws, and that his body was covered with hair. He looked like a bird or something like that, with feathers. God humbled him, brought him down, and he became a model Christian after his conversion. Pretty good, isn't it? But you know, the same thing is reflected in the history of the Roman Empire. The whole New Testament was conceived and written under the Romans. They had such rulers as Nero, Titus, Domitian, Nerva, Trajan, Hadrian, and these men actually had decrees passed condemning Christianity. There was organized government-sponsored persecution against believers in the Roman Empire. Then, in the year 306, a fellow by the name of Constantine became emperor of Rome. He was converted in 312 to Christianity, and in the year 313, the Edict of Milan was passed, and that granted freedom of religious worship to all of the people in the Roman Empire. Even Christian slaves were released. What a difference it made. England is another good example. Back in 1553, there was a queen by the name of Mary, Bloody Queen Mary, they called her, who ruled England. During her reign, martyrs' blood flowed like rivers of water during the most terrible persecution that you ever saw of Christians. All Protestants were fair game for anyone. They were hunted and killed like animals while she was ruling. When Mary died in 1558, Elizabeth took the throne. Elizabeth was tolerant of Christians, and during her reign, Christianity prospered in England. Amen. It was during her reign that John Knox founded the Presbyterian Church in 1560. It was during her reign that the Geneva Bible was produced. It was during her reign in 1570 that Richard Fitz formed the Separatist Church. And in 1581, a fellow by the name of Robert Brown formed the Congregational Church. And during her reign, Christianity prospered. She laid the foundation for her successor, whose name was King James, who produced the King James Version of the Bible in 1611. You see what we're talking about? So remember this historical fact when you go to the polls. A godly president in the United States will bring peace and prosperity to our nation. But an ungodly president will bring war, strife, bloodshed, and poverty to this nation. By the way, the same thing holds true for congressmen and Supreme Court justices and people in high places. One of our faults is that we have allowed the devil to persuade us that only the down and out bums on Skid Row need the gospel. Those degenerate drunks, prostitutes, drug addicts, they're lost. And the church should go down there and bring them out of the hell of their existence and get their feet on the right track. So, we evangelize them, and we let City Hall go to hell. We have mayors that need to be saved. We have city councilmen that need to be saved. We have county supervisors that need to be saved. We have judges and governors and assemblymen and senators, even presidents who need to be saved. Those in high places. Under God-fearing Christian leaders, our nation can prosper. History proves that. Its people will be blessed. We'll win our wars. We will put prayer and Bible reading and the Ten Commandments back in our schools. We will evangelize the world. But when the wicked are in power, our nation will decline. We'll have inflation. We'll have high taxation. We'll have fear and unrest. High unemployment, poverty, depression, spiritual apostasy, crime, violence, baby killings, strife, and defeat. And none of us really want that. It's too bad that we've let the devil persuade us that only the ignorant heathen savages in the jungles are lost. So we send some of our best educated, most faithful and dedicated workers out into the jungle to evangelize them. And while our efforts, our financial support, and our attention is directed there, the devil comes in behind our backs and makes heathens out of Americans. And that's our children and our grandchildren. He puts atheists and infidels in our schools who teach and train our children. He places in the seats of power and authority those who would steal away our religious freedoms and build altars to idols in high places. Right under our noses, it's happening. I'm not anti-missionary, but I do protest that when we close our eyes to the spiritual conditions here in our own country, when we neglect our own people, it's a shame. We have good people. There are those who would willingly donate $1,000 to a missionary to go out into some unknown foreign country to preach the gospel to those lost souls, but that person would not walk across the street to witness to his next door neighbor. That's discrimination. Missions begin at Jerusalem. Amen. And extend to Samaria, throughout all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the world. Our people are being and have been brainwashed against the gospel because every media of public communication, newspapers, radio, television, such as that, have been turned into a big propaganda machine. I get so tired of listening to it, I just could throw it out the window. Many of the pulpits in America are promoting the false doctrine of the universal fatherhood of God and brotherhood of all men. But what does Jesus say? Let's look at the scriptures. Matthew 25. Listen, these are the words of Christ. Verse 31. He says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, imagine that, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. This implies that in the shepherd's flock he had some goats in amongst his sheep. But there's coming a day of separation. They will no longer be mingled together. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. That doesn't take a genius to figure out that this is a picture of a day of judgment that's coming. Not a judgment of individuals, but a judgment of nations. The sheep nations will be given a kingdom prepared for them from the foundation of the world, verse 34 tells us. The goat nations will be cast into the lake of fire prepared for the devil and his angels, verse 41. That's what Jesus said. Now, a sheep nation is a nation of sheep. A goat nation is a nation of goats. But who are the sheep? Psalm 100, verses 3 and 4. Let me read them to you. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Jeremiah said this, as the Lord spoke to him in chapter 50, verse 6. God says to Jeremiah, "My people hath been lost sheep." Lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. All that found them devoured them. Wow. They found these lost sheep out there and they ate them. They had sheep for supper. They barbecued them, I imagine. Now, I want to go back to Ezekiel chapter 14 and read you what the Lord said. Ezekiel chapter 34, beginning in verse 1. "And the word of the Lord came unto me." This is Ezekiel writing, and it is the word of the Lord that came unto him. And this is what the Lord said to him. "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds. Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat and you clothe you with the wool. You kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. The diseased have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost. But with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. And they were scattered, because there is no shepherd. They become meat to all the beasts of the field when they are scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will requite my flock at their hand, and cause them to come from feeding the flock, cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves anymore, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As the shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they've been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord." I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. And as for you, O my flock, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I judge between cattle and cattle, between the rams and the he-goats. Now when Jesus came, he declared his divine mission in Matthew chapter 15, verse 24. Listen to this. He said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The lost sheep, not the goats. In Matthew 10, verses 5 and 6, Jesus is talking about his 12 apostles, and he says, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, listen to what he told the 12, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He told them first where not to go, and then he told them where to go. Do you remember in Acts chapter 16, the Apostle Paul was on his missionary journey. He found himself in a place where he didn't know where to go next. He was waiting for the leadership of the Lord. And while he was waiting, he attempted to go into Asia. The Holy Spirit says, don't go, Paul. I don't want you to go that direction. All right, I'll go into Bithynia. The Holy Spirit said, no, I don't want you to go there. Paul said, Lord, where shall I go? That night he had a vision of a man in Macedonia, said, come over into Macedonia and help us. And the Apostle Paul went to Macedonia, from there to Athens and to Corinth, because here's the reason in verse 10 of Acts 18. Because God had much people there that needed to hear the gospel of Christ. Now, a sheep is a sheep by its nature, and a goat is a goat by its nature. A sheep cannot become a goat if it strays away from the fold. It just becomes a lost sheep. A goat cannot become a sheep by mixing in a fold of sheep. And you cannot interbreed a sheep and a goat and come out with something that is half sheep and half goat. You can't make a sheep out of a goat. And Matthew 13, we read that great multitudes of people gathered to hear Jesus preach. And the Bible tells us there that he spake many things unto them in parables. His disciples questioned his mode of teaching and said, why do you speak to them in parables? And he told them in verse 11, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. given, a gift. To you, it's given. You have been given the knowledge and the understanding of the kingdom of heaven, but they have not been given that. And then he explains that in verse 13. And here's what he said. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they, seeing, see not. And hearing, they hear not. Neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand. And seeing, you shall see and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. That's what Jesus said. Now, I want you to notice here, we're going back to John chapter 10. I want you to notice here how this is illustrated. Jesus starts this chapter off, and mind you, he's talking the last couple of verses in chapter 9 to the Pharisees, the religious people of his day that were there with him. And he said this to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus to them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. He goes on in verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. Further on in this chapter, in verse 24, he's still talking about the same thing. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works which I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not. Why? Because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Wow. They were going to stone him to death because he said something like that. He said, "You believe not because you're not my sheep." In Matthew 7, verse 6, this is what Jesus said, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." Now that's a plain warning against trying to give the blessings of the kingdom to people who can't understand and appreciate it. And I hate to get into foreign policy in the pulpit. But, we know better than God does. So we violate His commandments. And we cast our pearls of freedom and liberty and wealth and power before those who are spiritually bankrupt. Christ rejecting, anti-God, atheistic, heathen nations who trample our gifts under their feet in the mud and the mire of their evil desires and then turn on us to destroy us. We share that which is holy, our Bible, our Christian faith, with savages that Jesus calls dogs and hogs. And our precious missionaries suffer persecution. They're murdered. They're thrown into prison. And someone will say, "But preacher, I thought we were to go out and convert the world." No, the commandment says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." You can't convert anybody. You see, men said that about converting the world. God didn't say it. There's a big difference. God uses the gospel that is preached. What is that? 1 Corinthians 15, that Christ Jesus died for our sins, that He was buried, that He rose again the third day. The good news of salvation. He that believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. That's the gospel. Now, God uses that gospel to call out His sheep from among the peoples of the world. They're the ones who hear His voice, and they are the ones who respond. In fact, Jesus said there in the 10th chapter, verse 16, "Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice." They'll hear my voice. "And there shall be one fold and one shepherd." In the 17th chapter of John, Jesus prayed, quote, "For those whom God had given Him." That's the ones He prayed for. What did He pray for? You'll notice there in verse 2 of John 17, it was to them that He gave eternal life to. And verse 6, to them He manifested God's name. To them He gave God's words and they received them. In verses 11 and 15, he prayed God to keep them from the evil. And in verse 17, he prayed for their sanctification. Verse 20, he blessed their fruit. And in verse 22, he said that he would glorify them. Verse 24, he said, they shall be with me. Read who he's talking about there. In order to obtain God's blessings, we must obey his commandments and demonstrate to the world how obedience to his will make us a have nation compared to the heathen third world have not nations. The blessing of peace, good government, education, sanitation, good health, prosperity, all these blessings can be shared with other nations if they will come to us for instruction in his laws. We try to go into some of these countries and make democracies out of them. Without God, it's impossible. God's word is truth, and his truth is eternal. It never changes with time and fashions. His word is still true today. So, don't ever apologize for being one of God's sheep. Don't ever apologize for being a citizen of a sheep nation. Be proud of it and walk worthy of it and rejoice in your destiny, for the Bible says it has pleased the Father to give you the kingdom. It's ours. It's for the sheep of his fold. There are sheep and there are goats in the world. There are sheep nations, there are goat nations. They may be mixed together now, but there's coming a time of separation when the sheep will be placed on his right hand to inherit the kingdom, and the goats on his left hand to perish in the lake of fire. I hope I've thoroughly mixed you up tonight, given you something to think about, to contemplate, read and understand what God says through Jesus Christ.